Many trials come before I reach my journey's end. Through them I'll be faithful and I'll walk in victory, trusting toward that moment when my Father says to me, "Well done, my child, your race is over. You have fought the fight, you have kept the faith. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Well done, my child, your crown is waiting. Here is your robe of white. Your mansion is just in sight. Come into this city of light. Well done, my child." When I finally see the streets of gold and those gates of pearl, I know that I'll forget my every struggle in this world. Every pain and heartache will quickly fade away, trusting toward that moment when I hear my Savior say, "Well done, my child, your race is over. You have fought the fight, you have kept the faith. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Well done, my child, your crown is waiting. Here is your robe of white. Your mansion is just in sight. Come into this city of light. Well done, my child."
1 Corinthians chapter 3 this evening. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Since I kept you long this morning, we'll keep you shorter tonight, all right? Any amens on that? Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Tonight I'm going to conclude the sermon series that I've been preaching on, the Olympics of Faith, and tonight we'll be preaching on the winner's platform, and that's a platform I hope I get to be on. And as we go through the message tonight, I want you to know that not every saved person, not every person who will be in heaven while they're there, and praise God for that, but not every soul in heaven will be awarded the victor's crown. But I pray I'm one of them, and I pray you are. So 1 Corinthians chapter 3, let's go ahead and stand for the reading of the Word of God tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we're going to start reading in verse number 9, but the Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, and they're bickering back and forth, some saying, "Well, I was saved and baptized under Apollos." And others said, "Well, I was saved and baptized under Paul." And some were saying, "Well, I'm saved and baptized back under the disciples with Christ." So they had this feud going on, and the Apostle Paul writes to them. And they had a lot of problems in this church at Corinth. But he deals with this specifically in this chapter. And he says, all of that is null and void. We're all just stewards of the gospel. And it's God who brings the increase. It's God who saves the soul. It's God who gets the honor and glory for the work, not a man. And then he goes on and he says, but in this endeavor, in verse number 9, he does make it clear that we are laborers together with God. In the work of the ministry, in the work of God, while God gets the honor, God gets the glory, God brings the increase, God does all of that. He says, we are laborers together with God. He says, ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. Let every man take heed how he builds his life. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. There's coming a day that will declare what kind of works we have done in this life. And then it says, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple are ye? And then he goes on from there, speaking of the foolishness of this world and the wisdom of God and these things. But we're going to stop reading there, and we're going to talk about this coming day where our lives will be put under the scrutiny of Jesus Christ, also known as the Bema Seat Judgment of Christ. And we'll deal with that tonight. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we get now into the Word of God, Lord, help us to have ears to hear and a heart to receive the Word of God, that we might hear it and not just hear it and agree with it and say that was good and walk away from it, but Lord, help us to meditate on it, to ponder it, to digest it, to live by it and according to it. Lord, help us to apply it. Lord, may this passage of Scripture remind us that there is a coming eternity, and we need to do all we can to serve you, to live for you, to love you, and to lift you up. And God, I pray that you would just be honored and blessed here tonight. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Well, the Olympics have come and gone. Now, starting here in a few weeks will be the Paralympics. And that's pretty fascinating to watch people who are quote-unquote handicapped, because they do more than I ever could. And I can walk and move. You know, I have free mobility. And they are much greater athletes than I ever was or have been or ever will be. But the Olympics is pretty well over. And one of my favorite things to see after the Olympics is all the commercials afterwards with the newfound Olympic athletes. And you see them in the commercials, and they're all wearing their gold medals that they won. Just recently, I was watching the nightly sports center. Some people like to watch the news at night. I watch the news too, but it's not Fox News, it's ESPN. Okay, so and Katie Ledecky, who's the United States swimmer, she dominated in the women's field, took gold in several events, and she was thrown out the first pitch at a baseball game. She came out wearing all of her gold medals that she had won in Rio, and she had to take them all off to throw out the first pitch at the baseball game. And she handed them all to the player next to her. And he, you know, he was holding there, and she had 6 medals that she had won in Rio. I believe it was 6. You know, that's quite the accomplishment. Quite the accomplishment. And then you think of Usain Bolt, who won won 6 medals this year, I believe, or 3. And gold medals, and holds the record for the most gold in his events. Michael Phelps, the great swimmer, had 23 medals that he has won in his gold medals in his career. And you see them on the winning platform, and I love it when you get to see those athletes from your country stand on the winner's platform as the American flag is raised and the national anthem is played. There's a sense of pride as an American, this patriotic pride that comes over me. You know, I'll stand up and salute and pledge while it's on the TV because it just moves the heart to see those people from your country do so well and be on the winner's platform and represent your country in such an event. But I can only imagine what those athletes might feel like when they're on the winner's platform. I always think, if I'm moved to that point just watching it on television, what would it be like not just to be there, but what would it be like to be that athlete who gets to stand on the winner's platform, is given the gold medal, and then you get to watch your country's flag go up while they play your nation's national anthem. And it was fun to watch how some of the American athletes, you could see them, they would stand at attention. And if you noticed that no other country, when their flag is raised and their anthem is played, no other country would pledge. But the American athletes would all stand at attention and put their hand over their heart. It's a very patriotic thing. And I always wonder, what they feel like. Many of them are crying or tearing up, and they're singing the national anthem, and there's a sense of pride. I mean, that would be a tremendous thing to experience if you're one of those athletes. And that's the whole point why they go, to represent their country, and to be successful, to be awarded the medal on the winner's platform, to see their flag raised and to hear their national anthem played, and to show that not only do they dominate in their specific field of sport, but that their country has excelled and did well as well. That'd be a tremendous honor if you're one of those athletes. Well, tonight, we're going to look at the greatest winning platform of all time. And it is yet to happen. It is yet to happen, meaning you and I still have an opportunity to stand on that winner's platform and, out of a sense of joy, be awarded for our service for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to be awarded. I may be getting ahead of myself here tonight, but that's okay. And I want you to know that we're not representing, as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're not representing our country. We're not representing, we're not even representing Landmark Baptist Church. We are representing the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. When we step outside of these doors, or when we come into these doors, or whatsoever our hand findeth to do, we're to do it with all of our might, because we are doing it to represent Jesus Christ. If you're saved tonight, the Bible says that we have been made ambassadors for the Lord, meaning we represent Him. We stand in His place. And what we do, as we are commissioned to stand in His place, one day we'll give an accounting for. And that'll be the Bema seat. And we're going to talk about that tonight. So let's look at our text here tonight, and we're going to talk about this great day that is coming. It'll be a day of discovery. It'll be a great day of discovery. The Bible says, and starting in verse Number 10, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. Now, the Apostle Paul, let me set this into context because I don't want to be guilty of taking anything out of context. The Apostle Paul is talking about him going to Corinth, and he laid the foundation for the church. Not the literal slab of concrete that the building would be on, but meaning he went into the town and he preached the gospel. Okay, he preached the gospel. He preached the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He preached salvation by grace through faith in Christ. He preached the words and teaching of the Lord. And so, meaning he laid the foundation, and others have builded thereon. Some, he came in and started the church and preached, and then others came in and began to build on his work. Began to build on what he had already started. And then he says, but there is no foundation laid but that which is Jesus Christ. He said, that's what this whole thing is built on. The church at Corinth, he's saying, is not built on a man. It's not built on Paul. It's not built on Apollos or Peter or John or anybody else. He said the only foundation that is worthy for the church to be on, and he says it right there in verse number 11, is, which is no other, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. He's the founder, the builder, the maker, the head, the cornerstone, the foundation of the church. If we're talking about a New Testament biblical church, it's all about Christ. It's His body. It's His work. It's His bride. It's all about Christ. And we need to always remember that Landmark Baptist Church is not about a person or a man or a family or a ministry. It's all about Jesus Christ and Him alone. So he lays that out. And then he says, but he warns them, but take heed how you build thereon. He says, now if any man build upon the foundation, which is Christ, Christ is the foundation. If any man build upon the foundation, and then he lays it out, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. Meaning what? That the work that people come in and did within the church in the name of God will one day be put under the test. It'll be put under the judgment of Christ. The judgment of Christ. The bema seat of Christ. So, he says it'll be a day of discovery, and first, the thing that will be discovered is what we did, and so our methods will be judged. Our methods. It is very important when he talks about people coming in and building upon the work of God. I'm thankful that many years ago, I believe the church records, we have old church records from the 1950s, when before it was Landmark Baptist Church, it was Mount Pisgah Baptist Church. And I believe it was 1953. Mount Pisgah Baptist Church. Nobody was around then, were they? I don't want to get anybody in trouble. Or get myself in trouble by calling anybody old. I guess I should say that way. But I'm thankful that there were a group of people that saw that a community like Carlsbad needed a gospel preaching church. Now, I went back and looked at some of the church doctrine, and they were off on some things back then. But one thing that they were straight on was that Jesus Christ is the Savior. That His name should be lifted up and magnified. That the cross of Christ should be preached. That people should be saved, baptized, and discipled. I'm thankful that there was a group of people that said we need to have a gospel preaching church in this town. Amen. In 1953. And they laid a foundation. And down through the years, We can think of faithful people who have been in this place laboring and serving and giving and working and building upon what they started. We've seen some people come and go. Some people have already gone on to be with the Lord. But I'm thankful for every person who's ever put their hands to the plow and worked in this church. I'm thankful for them. I praise God for them. But our methods in which we build, quote unquote, the church, and the methods of which we go about serving the Lord, those will be put on, under His scrutiny. That's why it's vitally important that we make sure that the methods that we use at Landmark Baptist Church first line up with the Word of God. That they are Christ-honoring. That they are God-glorifying. And that they are edifying to the body. There are churches that and people who say, well, I'm just trying to reach souls for God. Hey, I'm thankful for anybody who would preach the cross of Christ. Anybody that gets saved, regardless of where they get saved, praise God for that. But our methods will be put under scrutiny. And some people say, well, the means justify the end. Not according to what Paul just said. Not according to what Paul just said. I'll make this clear. I would rather have a church of a handful of people doing it scripturally in honor of God, lifting up the name of Christ, than to have a church full of people and doing things our way that won't stand the test of eternity. And so we need to be careful with our methods of how we serve the Lord, because it'll be put under judgment. And then this is where he brings up the judgment of Christ. See, in the Apostle Paul's time, in those cities, there was a raised platform that would often be either in the middle of the city or in a governmental section of the city. And there would be a raised platform, and there a person who would be appointed by the Roman government, he would sit in that place, and he would pronounce judgment on the behalf of Caesar. People had an issue, they could go to the Bema seat. The Bema seat was also used during the Olympic Games. The Olympic Games were very popular. They were birthed out of Greece, out of the Grecian culture, and it carried right on into the Roman era. And they had boxing, they had wrestling, they had track and field, they have chariot racing, they had all kinds of events. And the Bema seat was where the judge would sit, and he could see the whole playing field. And he would examine to see, is every athlete participating? Are they doing things according to the rules? Are they violating any of the rules? Are they trying to gain an advantage over their competitors? Are they trying to cheat? And he could see that, and then he would be able to pronounce judgment and say, no, you cheated, you're disqualified. Or he would look and say, you did things correctly, you dominated the competition, and you are the winner. You're the victor. So the Bema seat of Christ isn't just a place where we have to fear and dread. Hey, if we're doing things according to the Word of God and building our lives and building our church and doing the ministry of God His way, then it's not something we have to fear or dread. It's something we can look forward to with great anticipation. And so it's a place where they could make proper judgment and make the correct call. Now, we know that human error is involved in any kind of refereeing. I like to watch football. And the refs always call a bad game when my team is playing. Without fail. When the Dallas Cowboys step onto the field, the refs are automatically biased against them. And I've been known to throw my glasses at the TV saying, ref, you need these more than I do. And I will yell and spit and curse. Okay, I won't spit, but no, I don't curse. But, I mean, why? Because, you know, the refs don't always make the right call. I mean, it's just the way the games go. But Christ never misses anything. Christ won't skip a beat. Christ won't miss one thing. Christ won't make one bad judgment. He won't make one bad call when it comes to our service for Him, when it comes to how we lived our lives, when it comes to how we labored in the church, when it comes to how we did things at Landmark Baptist Church. God, Jesus Christ, won't make a single error in His judgment. It'll be perfect. It'll be just. And it'll be done in a way that brings Him honor and glory. Well, I'm thankful that things like our sin won't be brought up. Praise God for that. And I'm thankful that at the Bema Seat of Christ that my salvation is not going to be called into judgment. Your sin and your salvation, if you are trusting in Jesus Christ and Him alone, it's settled. It was paid for. It was settled at the cross. But our methods of how we served Him, the way we went about doing His work, all of that, it's under scrutiny. The Bible says that the way we labor, the way we build upon, all that will be called into judgment. See, when you get saved, when you accept Christ as your Savior, from that moment on, you are now building a life upon the foundation. Not just this, he talks about this as in a church, but it also applies to each and every individual. From the moment you get saved till the moment you die or rapture out of here, we're building a life. It says that we're God's building, God's husbandry, meaning God's farm, God's work. And we're building this Christian life. And all of it's going to be put under scrutiny. So, the methods that we go about it is vitally important. But then he also says that our materials will be judged. So the method about how we go about this, but our materials. Look in verse number 12. He says, now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. And he talks about how every man's work will be judged by fire in verse 13. And then look in verse 14. For if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. How we go about building the work of God and how we go about building our lives, all that's going to be put under the judgment of Christ. So it's not just important how we go about it, but then he also talks about the materials on which we build our life. I hope you've already figured this out, that he's not talking about physical materials. But the wood, hay, and stubble, or the precious metals, gold, silver, and I already lost it. Gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. These are representative of the choices we make, the things that we that comprise our life. Our lives are nothing but a series of choices. Everything about our life is just one choice after another choice. From the moment you get up to the moment you go to bed, it's all one big, you're just making choices after choice after choice after choice, aren't you? From what you're going to wear to work that day, to what you're going to have for breakfast, to how much coffee you'll have that day, or what route you'll drive to work, or what kind of mood you'll be in when you get to work, and how you'll interact with your coworkers, to when you get home, to what you're going to watch on the television, to how you're going to be around with your family. Are you going to come in and kick the dog and curse the wife, or whatever that might be? I mean, it's all a series of choices. That's all our life is. And the things that we choose to invest in, the things that we choose to be involved in, and the choices that what we're going to expend our time in, and our talent in, and our treasure in, and what we're going to expend our energy on, those are all just choices. And all of those things will be put under the test. These are the materials of which we build our life on. Wood, hay, and stubble will be put under the judgment Fire in the Bible is always a picture of judgment. Fire is judgment. It'll be put under the judgment of Christ, the fire of Christ. And it's going to be some tough scrutiny. Christ isn't going to grade on a curve. When I was in college, we took let me think of the class. We all nearly failed the class, so I can't remember the name of it now. Modern something or another. It was a theology class. I think it was just called Modern Theology. But we nearly all failed the class. I mean, there were 30 of us in there, and we nearly all failed the class. And the professor took P on us on our midterms and graded our midterms on a curve. Meaning, I passed the class, but only because of his mercy there. God's not going to grade on a curve. He's going to take your life, your choices, your decisions, and one by one, he's going to judge them. He's going to judge mine. He'll judge yours. And everyone who are in Christ Jesus, our lives will be put to the test. And he says, whatever was wood, hay, and stubble, that'll burn. It won't stand the scrutiny. It won't stand the test of his judgment. But those things that are gold, silver, and precious stones, oh, they'll stand. And matter of fact, you know what fire does with gold, silver, and precious metals and precious stones? It makes them that much more valuable. See, what the Apostle Paul is getting at is that while we go throughout our life, we make choices of what we're going to put our life and our energy and our finances and all these things into, and which way we're going to lead our families, and which way we're going to take concerning our careers. All these things can be done either for the Lord Jesus Christ, or it can be done for self and for self-promotion and self-building and self-gathering. And you may accomplish and be successful in this world, but in the hereafter, it'll be for nothing. And the last thing I want to do is to stand before my Savior and my life and my choices and my ministry to all be put under the test of Christ and to stand there and watch it just burn and have nothing left. What I want for me, what I pray for you is that as our lives are judged, that what comes forth out of it is gold, silver, and precious stones. The only things that will stand the test of time, the test of eternity, is what we do for the Lord Jesus Christ. The methods, the motives, reason why we do things, why do we give in the offering plate, why do we sing in the choir, why do we go soul winning, why do we pray and read our Bible, and why do we treat our family members and our neighbors with love and respect, and why do we do all these things? Is it so that others may see us or so that God may be glorified? We can say in church, well, we do it for the glory of God, but the day will reveal it whether that's true or not. And the truth is that here tonight, the only two people that know whether we do things for God or for self is us and God. Because we can fool one another, but we will not be able to fool Christ. So our materials, our methods, our motives of why we do these things, it all be put under scrutiny. So it'll be a day of discovery, but I'm telling you, it'll be a great day of delight, though. It's going to be a great day when this happens. For those who have built on the foundation of Christ, and if their works prove to be gold, silver, and precious stones, the Bible says that every man's work, in verse 13, shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. It'll be a great time. Hey, if you have built your life on the Lord Jesus Christ and built your life on His Word, and you do things for the honor and glory of God, and you do things to lift up the name of Christ, and you do things for God and not just for yourself, hey, when you stand before Christ, and what comes out of His judgment is gold, silver, and precious stones. Hey, it'll be a great day of rewarding for you. That's going to be a great time. And don't you know that on that day, there are going to be some dear saints of God that we have never even heard of who will be greatly rewarded. There will be people who came into Landmark Baptist Church and just quietly served, quietly gave, and maybe flew under the radar and nobody thought much about, but they may be the most rewarded person in the church. I mean, I don't know. I'm just saying that it'll be a great time of rewarding for those people. A great time. People who have dedicated their whole lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. And see, dedicating your life to the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't mean you become a missionary and your picture gets put on a board with a mission letter to get a great reward. You can clock in a regular, what I would call a regular job, day in and day out, and pay your bills and raise your kids and have your family and enjoy your activities and hobbies. You can do all of these things and be greatly rewarded before God. You don't have to go to Africa to be greatly rewarded. Now, if God's calling you there, I'm telling you, you should go. But I'm saying that it's not required. I'm thankful that God doesn't say to be a Christian, to be greatly rewarded, you must do, and then He just gives a long old list of like, you have to go to Costa Rica and be a missionary for 30 years to be greatly rewarded. I'm just thankful that God just says, wherever you're at, do what I've told you to do and just be faithful. And I'll reward you accordingly. I'll reward you for that. I never knew my grandfather, my dad's father. I didn't know him. He died when I was just a month old. But everything that I've read on my grandfather and been told by my grandmother and by my aunts and uncles and all of those things, he was a great Christian. He fought in World War II, came home as a highly decorated soldier, served honorably in the military, started working on tractors and combines and fixing trucks and these things at Greenacre Machinery in Plainview, Texas, to earn a living. But he served God faithfully at the Second Baptist Church of Plainview, Texas. I guess he didn't like the First Baptist Church, so he went over to the Second Baptist. No, he served there faithfully. He was an ordained preacher. He got ordained in that church. He never actually pastored, but he taught Sunday school. He preached. He raised all of his kids to love the Lord. I have an uncle in the ministry. My father's in the ministry. I'm in the ministry. I have a cousin that's in the ministry. And all that, you know, we believe all that's because of the labor and investment that my grandfather made in the work of the gospel, that he made in his family. We're just fruit of that, byproducts of his faithfulness. But he wasn't wealthy. By the world's means, he wasn't even successful. And people won't. If I told you who David McDonald is, most people would be like, never heard of him. But it's those kind of Christians who I believe will stand before Christ and they will be greatly rewarded and it'll be a great day of delight in their life. But if it's a great day of delight, then it can also be a great day of disappointment. If he says every man's work will be judged by fire, and it says that he shall be rewarded, if any man's work abide which he hath built, thereupon he shall receive a reward. So it also means it'll be a great day of disappointment. I'm afraid that there will be people and Christians, and I'm afraid that if I'm not careful and if I don't stick with the Lord, that I could end up in this crowd. And the truth is you could as well. If it's a great day of delight where people are rewarded for their works that stand the test of time, then it can also mean to be a day of disappointment when people thought, boy, look at all the money I gave to the church. Look at how long I taught Sunday school. Look how much I sang in the church. And surely this will be great. And then one day it'll be revealed by fire that all of those things weren't necessarily done for Christ. Because you know that you can do quote-unquote spiritual things, godly things, and it not be for the honor and glory of God. It can be done for self. It can be done for a myriad of other reasons. But if it's not done for God and for Christ, then it won't stand. So it'll be a day of disappointment. I said that there will be those people who will be rewarded who we've never heard. But there will probably be some people who we think, if anybody's going to get rewards in heaven, surely it's going to be that person. Surely it's going to be that preacher. Surely it's going to be that missionary. Surely it's going to be that church member or that Sunday school teacher. Now, I'm thankful that you and I aren't the judge of one's heart, but Christ is. I'm thankful that God is the one who truly knows the heart and truly knows the motives and truly knows the material, and God knows all of that. I'm thankful that it doesn't come down between you and I to decide whether they should be rewarded or not. But I'm just saying there will be some people who we think ought to be rewarded, and they'll stand before Christ and their whole work will go up in smoke. So it'll be a great day of delight for some and a day of disappointment for others. But do you know the truth is, whether that day is going to be a day of delight or disappointment falls on one person. You and me. The only one who determines on whether that day will be a day of delight or disappointment is ourselves. Because we won't be able to point on that day and say, well, I would have done better, Jesus, but I'm telling you, My wife and kids just wouldn't fall in line. That's not going to work with God. You can't point and say, I would have done better except for that person on the pew next to me or across from me or that person who just at work, God, you know I would have done better, but that boss I had just, it won't fly. We cannot and will not be able to blame anybody on that day. And all we can do is just take, all we can do and we'll be able to do is take responsibility for our own actions, for our own lives, on whether we built for Christ on the things that mattered or not. We won't be able to blame anybody else. And this is the sad thing, because how many times have you seen somebody, a Christian, leave the faith, depart the faith, leave the church, quit serving God? And then you start asking why, and they start saying, well, that person, they start blaming the preacher, they start blaming the Sunday school teacher, they start blaming that person or that person, they start blaming their family members or one thing or another. That won't work with God. It won't work in my life, and it won't work in your life. So it'll be a great day of judgment. But it could be a day of victory. It could be that victor's platform where you will receive a crown, receive a reward. I wrote down all the rewards and crowns. We're not going to take the time to go through them all, but there's the soul winner's crown. There's the victor's crown over temptation. There's a crown those given to those who faithfully lived according to the Word of God. There's a crown for those who anticipate His second coming. All those people who live in light of eternity, there's a crown for that. There's a crown for how we handle our finances. I mean, there's all kinds of crowns mentioned in the Bible. You remember just a few years ago, we did a crown campaign with Monty Martin, and we had all the crowns. Some of you might remember that. There's like 9 or 10 different crowns listed in the New Testament. And the great thing is that we can all be winners of all of them. I mean, we could win. We could go 10 for 10. Or we could go 0 for 10. Or somewhere in between. But all of that rests on us. God's given us everything we need. We have His Spirit, we have His Word, we have His church, we have salvation, we have Christ, we can go to His throne in prayer. I mean, there's not one thing we're lacking to go the distance. So it all falls on us. So the question is pretty simple. The challenge is pretty simple. You and God know how your life is being built at the moment. You and God know. I don't know. Pastor doesn't know. But the Lord does. And if we're honest with ourselves and we take time to examine our own hearts and lives and these things, we'll know the truth as well. I'll conclude with this, that if you have been building your life on the wood, hay, and stubble, and all your choices just seem like it's been going for self and against the will of God and the Word of God, the great thing is that it's never too late to start building for Him. It's never too late. It's never too late to say, God, I've been building for self, but now I want to start building for You. I want to start living for You. And to turn it around by God's grace. You know, the great thing is that in the eyes of God, that's what He's looking for. Jesus gave the parable of the people who decided to work in the vineyard. They agreed to work in the vineyard. Some started in the morning, some started in the afternoon, some started in the evening. They all agreed to the same wage. And at the end of the workday, what happened? He started divvying out the paychecks. Those who started in the morning, they got their share. Those who started in the afternoon, they got theirs. Those who started in the evening, they got theirs. Those who started in the morning were like, hey, that's not fair. We've been out here working longer than they have. Why don't we get more money? And He said, no, you agreed to the wage. You know what that parable teaches? That it's never too late to start serving Christ. Because when the day comes, you'll be rewarded and judged on the same level as those who have been serving God all their life. So it's never too late. It's never too late to start serving God, building for God. But the choice of how we build and why we build and how we serve and how we live all falls on self. So choose you this day who you'll serve, self or the Lord. You make that choice. Let's all stand tonight. We're going to have our invitation. I just want you to examine in your own heart, examine in your own life. Ask the question. It's okay to every now and then to get a little tough on yourself and say, what am I really doing? Where am I really at? Where do I truly stand with Christ in my life? Examine your choices. Examine the direction of your life. And ask the Lord. Say, God, I want to do what's right. Show me. Am I doing things Your way or my way? Will You reveal it to me? He'll show you. But the choice of whether we're going to correct these things or not, it's not on anybody else. It's on us. So I'm going to pray, and we'll have our invitation. Our Heavenly Father, as we conclude this time of the service, and we now begin the invitation, a time for us to reflect in our hearts, to let the Spirit of God reveal and work in our lives and our hearts, I pray, Lord, that we'd be honest before You. Lord, that we would be truthful and honest with ourselves. And Lord, that we would make that choice to serve You, to live for You. That we'd make that decision, God, that what we do is going to be for Christ. It's going to be through Christ and according to your word. And that one day, God, when we stand there, we may be rewarded accordingly. And I pray that it would be a great day of delight in our hearts and lives, and not a day of disappointment and discouragement and defeat, but rather a great day, a great time of victory. That we may be awarded these crowns and then cast them at the very feet of Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to make that determination and decision in our life. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If the Lord spoke to you tonight, we want to give you an opportunity to respond.